Yeah, I have a musical head.
I can... Carries a little bit.
It's...
Do that.
Didn't I see you doing that on Letterman?
I think about anyone on Letterman these days.
You may have, yeah.
They don't even let Letterman on Letterman.
It's true.
Yeah, I went real downhill after they started locking him out of the studio and recording just an empty set.
Yeah.
I don't know. Personally, I like that a lot more.
Well, I mean, it got pretty interesting when the rats showed up.
And then they were putting together little props out of, like, frozen bits of broccoli that had been left in the fridge. And then, or in the freezer. Yeah. And they're figuring out how to work the cameras, but it's not very convincing because it's too steady. They don't have that shaky cam thing going yet.
Yeah, and they also had that problem where they keep chewing through the wires, so they only have one camera.
Yeah. But plenty of snacks.
Who needs a 5-star review on Stitcher? Facts, but better. Welcome to Facts But Better. I am Un, and I will be your moderator. Now, let's introduce our panel tonight. You in the conversation shirt. Where do you want to go have dinner after this?
Rodent Hut. I say that every night, don't I?
You say a lot of things every night.
Sometimes yeah. It's Rodent Dome.
I'm Electric Keat. Vote for me.
I prefer Muscle with Jack.
I'm Amar, who's a plush. And I want to go to the restaurant at the end of the universe.
Excellent choice.
Oh, are we asking everyone this?
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Well, Muscle a Check, then.
So was that
Muscle
a Check? Or where you were going?
No, you go to Rodent Hut for deep-fried rodents. You know, they're tasty. You can get them a sack of 10. You know, I mean, they have three sizes. You know, you've got your hamster, you've got your guinea pig, and then you've got your capybara.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
I've had a rat sack there. They're really good. When they just load them full and just big pile of grease in a paper bag.
Yeah. Muscle jack is pretty much just fish.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Well, technically, the capybara is a fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the purposes of Catholics.
Yeah.
Land fish. Kind of like a Buick. That's
So what was the question again?
What is your name and where do you want to go to dinner after this?
Oh, I missed the name part.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what my name is. I'll come up with one later.
Fair enough.
I am Sorath. And in blatant disregard for the hamster and rodent-based options, I've chosen to go to the new Grillby's that just opened up down the road.
There's a squirrel right out there. Catch that as a pre-dinner snack and then join you at Grillby's.
Oh, it's Scrawny Tail. Yeah,
that one.
Okay. Well, it's an appetizer. It's an appetizer squirrel.
No, don't eat that one. He's good.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
very,
see him
very good dog.
Feeding peanuts every morning.
He's a good dog.
Oh. You've been feeding the squirrels?
Soon you will be lord of all that is squirrel.
No.
You will be carried off by squirrels to be eaten.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Isn't that what's
They
involved?
Have to head knock against my head first to make sure I'm not a bad nut.
No, down the chute.
That's right. That's right, home viewers, listeners, ingesters of this terrible, terrible, terrible thing that we call Facts But Better. The squirrels are loose. Guard your nuts.
All right, then. Our panelists will be competing today for an exciting bar of something that doesn't know what it is and a sack of rainbows. Now then, you with the undecided name? You'll be keeping score today.
Yay! My name is Scorekeeper.
Very good. Please arrange for whoever you want to win to win.
Done.
Our main topic for tonight will be man-made eclipses by supervillains. Please remember this main topic. There will be a quiz at the end of the program.
Didn't we have one of those recently? Well, I'm sure we'll get the chance to talk about that later. Yeah.
Only in Springfield.
I can neither confirm nor deny these vicious and accurate allegations of my involvement.
Oh, Fifth Amendment. What do we need that for?
Our first non-main topic will be beat-em-ups. Please describe a typical level in the following video games. First up, Cephalopod Boxer in Bright Lights, Squid City.
NTSC or PAL release. It's kind of important on this because they changed the order of the first two levels for the two releases. Something about flashier graphics and such. So the European release has you starting out in the circus level. which means you've got so many opportunities to just get used to the movement and such. It's the way it was supposed to be, but in the NTSC release, like the USA and Japanese releases, you know, your cephalopod boxer, that's his name, cephalopod boxer, you know, he's got a, you know, in the second level, the original second level, that's the first level here, there are some just crazy jumps and stuff you have to do while fighting your opponents.
Oh, yeah, and there's the thing where you grab a ring and you, like, swing around in circles and watch.
But remember how that's, like, ultra hard to do?
Yeah.
And then the second level is like a cakewalk? It's because the second level is supposed to be the tutorial level. It's just...
They swap the order.
Yeah.
My favorite was, like, the third level where they kept palette swapping the colors of the squid.
Yeah.
But that was, like, a special ability.
Yeah, because, like, you know, there were opponents that you had to beat with the red gloves and opponents you had to beat with the blue gloves.
I think my favorite thing about cephalopod boxer is that they just left the ragdoll physics on full time.
You're
just kind of, like, hovering along and just everywhere.
And it's great because, like, if your opponent is particularly shaken, you can tell when they're close to the end because you'll hit them and there will be a ripple out across their entire body. The next hit, you know, is just going to send them scattering to the floor.
Yep.
So I was actually one of the very few people who played it, not only as it was intended to be played with controller and DDR pad for movement, but actually could clear the game on a single continue with that configuration.
Wow.
Seriously.
I was never quite good enough to go pro. And GameStone Quick keeps rejecting my applications, but
I think that's not as impressive as it used to be, because I've already seen a speed run done where the only thing they used as a controller was a fish.
Wow. Oh my god, they unlocked hard mode.
Yeah.
That's like the fishing controller or the fish?
Yeah, it's benthic mode.
Man, that's out of my league.
Yeah, I have to say, that would be pretty much impossible without having consumed vast amounts of fish to increase your intellect.
But the real question here is cephalopod boxer, in fact, a squid or a kid?
That's the magic of Squid City. There. Mm-hmm. He can be both.
Everyone's a squid. Yeah.
Very good. Our next beat 'em up will be Brazil, the movie, the video game.
I was always really fond of the Dodge the Typewriter gameplay section, just in the very beginning, the intro where the fly buzzing around. I mean, they just kept increasing the speed, so it was absolutely a given that eventually, you know, you'd land and smack. Now it's a bubble.
But it was an endless runner, like, across the page where you're, like, dodging the different letters as they come up with the big levers.
I mean, it was only the first, well, for most people, like, the first 10 seconds of the game, but, you know, you could actually get a pretty good run going.
I think there was an Easter egg at the end of it.
If you managed to get past 255 typewriters, the game crashed.
That's not really an Easter egg.
No, but only one guy in Norway has ever managed to do it. So.
I remember picking up that game and then having a little bit of a heart attack. You know, my bank account was running a bit low. So when I got triple receipts, I got like three receipt emails for it. And I thought I had been charged thrice, you know. And that would have put me into an overdraft.
I mean, you could do a refund on two of those, but they'd make you fill out a 27/6, you know, form, so...
Yeah, and the problem is I'd already filled out one of those, so the file name was taken on my computer, and, well, from there, what do you do? I can't just stick arbitrary letters after it. I'd never be able to keep track of it.
Oh, I forgot the Z. That's important.
Yeah.
27/6.
27. Ooh. What form did I file then?
I don't know, but... I'm seeing a big stack of 1040s over there. You should probably do something about.
I've been having really weird dreams involving a samurai and then like an angel in like a concrete jungle. Is that related? Oh, wait, no, that's level 3.
That's level 3.
Okay. Yep.
Well said all. We now claw our way onto food reviews. Please determine the following foodstuffs. Part the first, best condiment to squirt up your nose while listening to this podcast.
Mustard!
I don't know about condiments.
Do we have any mustard left?
We've got like five different kinds.
Oh, okay.
Oh, ooh, I've never tried a different kind under each nostril at once. Yeah. That could cause problems.
It's not technically a condiment, but I guess you could like mix it with some sauce and make it some. But Timothy Leary's ashes.
Yeah, there you go. That's a condiment.
Mm-hmm. That is definitely a condiment.
Yeah.
I've seen that on the table before.
Right up the nose.
I like to add a squirt
right on your way to flavor country, one way or another.
So I would probably recommend not so much a condiment, but a neti pot full of vodka. I think that would be a pretty good chaser.
Mm. Yeah, that'll clear things out, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you want things cleared out, it's a lot of burning, which some people like. Well, it's a different kind of burn, though. I mean, it's not the kind of burn I like, which is... Okay, I've never tried Dave's Gourmet Insanity sauce, but I have done Tabasco, and I have to say, that is an experience.
I tend to prefer Bob's, you know, minor mental instability sauce.
Yeah.
Condiments are the enemy.
Hmm.
But I've had them in more orifices than most humans will ever get to experience.
I bet there's
Thank
one
you for sharing.
I bet there's one that we could all agree on would be a good idea.
Yeah.
Spores.
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 Sporks.
Pungent. Part the second. Worst combination of ingredients likely to be served in a 1970s dinner party.
Liver, tangerine, and raccoon pudding.
I'm going to go ahead and say something along the lines of canned beef Wellington suspended in Jell-O.
I'm going to say Timothy O'Leary because he was still alive at that time.
I'm going to say your liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
That movie was the 80s.
But that was called cannibalism, and frowned upon in most societies.
Most. When have I let that stop me before?
Not often.
Sorry, I'm just getting that out of the way so we can edit it out. Wow.
Very good. Our next main topic will be Total Eclipse of Your Mom. Please describe the following historical events involving eclipses.
You said total.
First, on March 20, 1140, an eclipse over Britain caused a number of soothsayers to issue the following portents about the upcoming Battle of Lincoln.
Battle of the Century!
Sunday, yeah. Sunday, Sunday!
You'll pay for the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
It'll be very dark.
But only for about 7 minutes.
And, you know, you won't have to wallow around in the mud quite so much during that time, because it'll already be nice and cool outside.
Also, hey, anyone want to pretend a really powerful magician? Here's your chance.
Well, you know, the funny thing about this is that the Church of England had actually given up eclipses for Lent, which this was right in the middle of, so there was a little bit of a hubbub about that.
Mm. Wow. I learned something today. We all did.
It's all right. You'll forget it later.
I didn't.
And our next ecliptic event, on January 21st, 1292, an eclipse over Beijing distracted the populace and enabled several chickens to escape, leading to the following adventures.
Well, didn't they end up chasing one for something like 3.5 days? They only finally recovered it.
No, it was a group of like two or three, because this is actually the basis for the film Chicken Run, the historical basis.
So a lot of people also miss that while it was sort of like a distraction mission. You had a couple that were running, and they had these massive groups trying to catch them, and the ones that remained actually took over the government for a while.
Yeah.
And you had the reign of the chicken, which lasted approximately 3 days.
Yeah, because it turns out that, well, you know, when you have a full eclipse like that, within that path opens briefly, very briefly, the portal of the poultry god. And, you know, those chickens were bestowed with, intelligence exceeding that of humans, charisma the likes of which could not even be imagined. It would be like looking upon the face of a god, god, if you will.
Well, I don't.
I will not.
Because I think you got the term wrong. The term is actually a poultrygeist.
Oh.
Well, geist, spirit, I mean, translation. No, the actual the interesting tidbit with this one that not many people know is that there were actually a couple of chickens, I think actually three, so technically not a couple, that successfully escaped to Taiwan and along the way learned to overload their bodies with calcium supplements such that their eggs were actually usable as essentially bombs. They could drop them while flying in the air, and people would be concussed and sort of, you know, out of the battle. Mm. And this tradition actually lasted all the way up until they were used to repel the British.
I can believe it. And it's because of those ultra-hard shells falling from the air that we gained both the name of the legendary bird, the Rock,
mm-hmm.
and the term shell shock.
Yep.
That's also why we refer to launching ordnance as shelling.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All of it comes from ancient China.
Mm-hmm. They did everything first.
And then later, the game Angry Birds ripped it off entirely.
Yeah. A total blatant ripoff of Chinese culture. Very appropriate.
Yeah.
Disturbing. And now, Fluffy Minotaurs. Please explain what the following mythological beings do on their day off. Part the first, Charybdis.
I thought that was a Pokemon.
Is that the one with the hole or the one with the singing? Wait, it's no, those are the sirens.
It's the one that shit posts all day on Facebook.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, I guess that's what they do on their day off, but what do they do on the day on?
Well, usually go on about things like the gold standard and the metric system and weird shit like that.
Very good. And second, Thrones. The angelic wheels within wheels, and suddenly we feel the stars begin to reel, and then around. Sorry, that happens sometimes.
Understandable.
It's all right.
I think they like to buzz really low on planet Earth and like scare random prophets and stuff, because I know Ezekiel saw one.
Those are drones.
Well, yeah, but I think modern times they take the form of UFOs instead of crazy wheels that are flying in the sky.
And now the wheels in the sky are those of the drones.
Yes.
But they do still keep turning.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're propellers now, but yes.
Don't know where I'll be tomorrow.
They might abduct some cows occasionally.
Thank you. You have now busted the budget for the show to license that song.
Oh, yeah.
We should rewind it.
Yeah. Can we do a quick... Yeah. We're newer models. We have silent rewind.
I was making a sound effect intentionally.
That way the listeners can understand what's going on.
So, like I was saying, the wheels in the sky are the drones. You know,
yeah, or UFOs. Around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aren't those the fake Minotaurs? The ones that just stand on drones and pretend they're Minotaurs?
Well, I mean, you shouldn't really, you know, Minotaur shame.
Fair enough. Fair enough. They can be Minotaurs if they want.
Absolutely.
They can be Maxitars, too.
Yes.
They're already Minotaurs.
And medium tars.
They're allowed to shell it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about anything else about the rest of the days off, but I do know that Friday nights, Thrones and the Cherubim do You Don't Know Jack tournaments.
Nice.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously. Mm-hmm. Listen to that podcast.
That is got to be amazing to take in.
I've been doing it for 6,000 years straight.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Every week, like clockwork.
Now, do they have plans to do it gay at any time in the near future?
I think they get to 10 and then switch.
Okay.
Mm. Now, yeah, it's just a regular game Night of Thrones.
I need more scotch.
There you go.
Disquieting. And now the foretold quiz. What was our main topic? The one who gets it correct gets one additional point.
I think it had something to do with gender.
Yeah, I think, was it something about gender and popsicle shapes?
Oh, it was making
condiment genders.
Oh.
It was making genders.
Are we minting fresh ones again?
I think it had something mm-hmm. to do with making genders.
Briefly, our gender mint was offline due to budget cuts, but we've got that back up and running, apparently.
Oh, sweet.
Well, I was actually sort of doing a few on the sly, so there's a couple hidden agenders around.
Mm. Is that what you're calling little experiments where you tried loading something other than the, you know, the right plastic stuff in there?
Oh,
you know, you got the spool and you're like, hey, what would happen if I ran, like, a clothes hanger through this? What would it do? And then
Next thing you know, you've got a tangle of clothes hangers coming out of your 3D printer.
So
that's my favorite thing to do on a day off.
The one thing I can say that I really learned from that is you do not want to load an entire kielbasa in there.
Oh, God, no. Never do that.
No.
You got to chop them up first.
By the way, since I'm the scorekeeper, I declare that the mysterious and disembodied narrator voice wins this time.
Why, thank you.
Woo! Not disembodied. You're just not looking at there's a little dish.
Yeah.
A little dish.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay.
Yes.
Biomass. It's important.
Number one paramecium. Are you still a paramecium?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I have become dust. Please don't vacuum me.
Okay.
I'll stop breathing temporarily.
Yeah.
Much appreciated.
Okay, I think that's about it for the shop.
I think I shall equitably distribute the bar of Identity Crisis and the four-color misordered rainbow.
Oh, God, don't do that. Sorry. Please, no. No, don't have an asthma attack here. Oh, God. Well, at least I'm not a roommate yet. We have a better habit of losing those.
Did you check the traps under the sink?
Traps? No traps. It's a passage to Narnia, just like it says. I labeled it.
That is a trap.
No, that's Neverland.
That is definitely a trap.
Nope, not taking the bait.
Oh, we need to pad for time.
Do we really?
No. Please tell us about these fabulous prizes we see before us and who wins them.
Well, I think it's an everyone wins kind of day.
Ooh.
Yay.
Cool.
Including the candy.
Yeah.
The candy wins, especially.
The candy definitely wins. What have we got here?
Rainbow Sour Belts.
Oh, you still need to do the ending.
What the ending?
Oh, yeah.
It has to end.
Oh, yeah.
There has to be an end.
This is the end, my beautiful friend. And now, before we go, I want to remind Fenrir, the celestial body devouring wolf, that Galactus has dibs on our solar system, so you need to find another one. That's all for now. Thank you for enjoying Facts, but Better.
Ending song.
You know,
is
honestly,
that an actual whatchamacallit?
That is an actual whatchamacallit.
Those have the best commercials.
I know, that's all I remember
seen
about them.
One.
Yeah.
I've never had one, I don't
They're
think.
They're pretty fantastic.
I remember them. No, I've had one, and I remember it being amazing.
Chocolate, peanut-flavored crisps, and caramel. You know, holding this, like, it's actually real.
It gives you a sense of power.
It's, yeah.
Oh, that's the jar of uranium.
Oh, yeah. Right.
The whatchamacallit gives me a sense of something made actual.
It doesn't contain a golden ticket, probably more like a molybdenum one.
Oh, I do collect
molybdenum. I've got a molybdenum ticket.
I prefer bismuth tickets.
Oh, man.
They make pretty patterns.
Something abysmal, but I'm not going to go for it. It's my birthday present to all of you, avoiding the punchline.
You stole the game lines.
I just want to try them.
Wait a minute. Yeah, okay, open it up. Let's try one of these things, these sour belts.
Yeah, they will smell like...
Well, it's just the first smell out of the package is always the strongest.
Oh my God, the limp.
I remember... I remember Christy and I were driving back from my parents' place back when they lived in Michigan. We were driving up to East Pennsylvania where we were living, and the car broke down halfway. And we had to make a couple calls. We had to get somebody out there, tow it to a place, just to find out what had happened. And the guy says, well, here's the issue. Your sour belt's gone.
I think there's something wrong with my bacon.
It's Gaken.
Gaken.
Damn it. I'm thinking, I'm coming up with jokes. But they're all jokes from, like, the 80s and 90s. They're all outdated jokes.
I gotta say, this is, in fact, the tastiest electrical tape I have ever had.
I know. Ooh.
The adhesive's gone a little bit out, though.
That's what I want. I want one of those little handheld labelers, but you can use sour tape, you know, the sour belt in it,
and print onto that. And so you get a little design. This is better than Valentine's, you know, the little Valentine's conversation hearts, the little hard candies that taste like crap.
Because they can be as long as you want them to be.
They can be as long as you want them to be. You can actually put the message you want on there and print it out.
Valentine, I've poisoned you by putting some printer ink on this tasty candy. I love you, but not that much.
Well, no, you'd have to do it out of stuff that, like, would be completely edible. It'd probably be a thermal process, honestly. Just sort of, you scorch it into the surface a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's basically a fancy toaster.
Yeah. It's like a cross between it. It's like if a toaster and a Game Boy printer were loving each other very much. Actually, the Game Boy printer, thermal printer. It was the was a coating on the paper for it, but you can get like any standard thermal printer paper for it. But that's how we would do it.
I had to reparse that. At first, I thought you said there was codeine on the paper.
Yes.
Which would probably explain a fair bit about certain aspects of game design.